This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
And who and what was thrown at that gentleman, and that gentleman has been ejected, but it was an ugly, ugly sight. I can't circle. I don't have my Telestrator today, but here comes a pizza. See it? Oh, jeez.
Highly unnecessary.
And the Bulldog.
Guy with the Patriots jacket, and of course he's been asked to leave the ball game for ruining a good piece of pizza. So, get beer all over. And here comes
some pizza.
On WGR.
That was an awful sight here at Fenway, and that is not tolerated in this ballpark. He has been ejected and never again allowed to buy pizza.
Sports Radio 550.
There's your one voter, I bet. Just bitter about the whole sport.
Remdog.
What? Well, or the guy. Maybe the guy got a freelance job.
The pizza guy. All right. Well, that could happen.
Quaint New England Journal Village. Something.
The
Quincy Patriot Ledger.
That's what I always remember because what was the gentleman?
Ron Dobson.
Ron Dobson. Thank you. Ron Dobson.
Maybe he got a job there, squirmed his way into a Baseball Writers Association of America vote.
Next thing you know.
No Derek Jeter. Voted against him. We don't know yet, do we?
No, I have not seen it referenced at all, like who this person is.
Will we know necessarily?
I kind of assumed that we would.
Me too. Don't they all eventually come out?
Yeah.
Or is that taken upon by the voters themselves?
Maybe it's
to reveal who they voted for. Maybe there's no obligation.
Yeah, that could be right.
That the association doesn't release every voter,
right?
Every ballot. They could though. They should.
Someone last night when we got done was just talking around on Twitter, just supposing, like, if you're the person who tallies the votes, would you follow up with a person who left Jeter off just to make sure that it wasn't a mistake? I mean, as silly as that sounds, like, it's not the kind of thing. We do live in a town where, like, legendary players of the hockey team had their names misspelled on jerseys. So I don't want to
just recently.
So I don't want to take for granted that details, big and small, would be, you'd be mindful of them necessarily. But I had a ballot. I don't know why I had this. If I bought something, maybe it came with a book that I bought, like a history of baseball book. I had a ballot for like the 100th anniversary baseball team or something, and I still have it. Like I sent it in, and they sent it back, and with a little frame, and I have it. And I mean, it was arduous for me to like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who am I choosing?
What you poke holes in this ballot?
I think it was either holes or little like SATs. I don't remember.
Fill in the box.
Yeah, like script. Yeah, right. And that was painstaking to me. And like, I would think if you're filling out a Hall of Fame ballot, you'd be pretty careful.
Well, I to answer your question, I don't think that would happen.
Yeah,
but it could. I don't think that would happen with the Heisman. I vote for the Heisman and. That's all electronic. I'm thinking this would be too. Maybe not. Doesn't really matter necessarily. And they tell you, like, all right, you write in the names of the – you write in three names.
Mm-hmm.
And also their schools. You write all – you type all that in.
Okay.
And then when you're done, you submit. And then there's a screen that says, are you sure? These are the three players
mm-hmm.
in this order that you're voting for. And once you say yes, it's over.
Right.
Like your vote is tabulated and that's it.
I don't know that it's electronic. The only reason I know about what the ballots look like are from writers who take pictures of them.
Yeah.
And that's a paper. Hard paper thing mm-hmm. and the people making X's with pens and the names that they're voting for. So I think that maybe is what they send in. Anyway, someone was just wondering, like, would you be looking at that and think like, maybe this person left it off as a mistake. I'm going to check with them. But again,
but that's a precedent
right.
that you don't want to establish,
right.
I think. Are you sure?
And
I got this. You voted for Brad Penny?
Right.
Are you sure you didn't mean to pick someone else?
Right. Like Derek, you can't, like maybe Derek Jeter, for example?
You can't. Well, I'm not thinking that, like, I don't know. I'd worry a little bit for the voter because it's like already obvious there would be this, you know, this onslaught of attention.
Yes.
But I do also think that you should have to defend your choices. I mean, it's a serious enough honor
mm-hmm.
and an important enough honor in the sport where if you vote for that, I would like to think everybody doing so would take it seriously. And if they make a choice that for any reason might be considered controversial, they should have to defend it, I think. And maybe you could, I don't know if I could, maybe you could make an argument that Jeter is not a Hall of Famer. If you have to make the argument that he didn't deserve to be unanimous and I was here to stop him, then that's awful. Like that is not actually, we have had that as like a higher distinction
right.
that these Hall of Fame voters, they enact, they sort of establish on their own
right.
that there's this higher
sure.
standard that needs yeah. to be met for that.
And a lot
but
of that...
that's not a real standard. Like that's not a, it's right. not in the, I'm pretty sure that's not in the writing anywhere.
Right.
So if that's your argument, that's a tough argument, but you should, I think you should still have to make it.
Right. Well, a lot of, there was a list of Hall of Fame things that have happened in the past, like the things that have happened with the vote in the past that made the rounds last night after this was announced, that there was one voter who did not vote for Jeter. And one of those things is that it took DiMaggio 5 tries or something. Ted Williams, same thing, like maybe 4 times or something. And so
that's another one.
That, right. And like Babe Ruth wasn't unanimous and like it's different. So like, I don't know if somebody's walking around going, well, Babe Ruth wasn't unanimous, so Derek Jeter shouldn't be either. I mean, I don't know. Like, he's a Hall of Famer or not.
But, well, that's right. There's the unanimous standard, and then there's the first time
right.
on the ballot standard, too.
Right.
But Rivera did get the unanimous vote. So nobody was standing in his way
right.
last year, and all but one person this year were willing to ignore that. Yeah. And I would say appropriately ignore that. Like I just said, I don't think that really should be a thing. He either deserves it or he doesn't.
Right.
And so you vote for him on that or you don't. But so making up your own standards seems wrong.
Yep.
Still, like, should the person have to come forward? I mean, I kind of think, yeah, I think that you should have to own, you should want to. You should want to. It's maybe intimidating.
You might want
daunting
to.
Daunting right but now, but you should want to.
I think the way that it is now, I have to stop short of saying you should, because I think it could things like this just get ridiculous now, like it's to a scary degree. And I mean, I guess if you have a good reason, it's not going to matter. And I don't know if this person does or doesn't, but I don't know what would be a good reason. You know, I happen to know that Derek Jeter's a huge phony or something. And like,
defense,
right? Whatever. I just think what you face in the public now is it can be real life threatening, and I don't know that I would wish that. I literally, my first thought was, "There's one vote. Oh, this poor person. It's gonna be ugly when we find out who it is, because people will go to insane lengths, and I don't wish that on anybody over a vote about a baseball player." But
well, hopefully it wouldn't get to a certain
right.
point. There are laws.
I wish you. I think you should be able to, and I would like you to be able to explain yourself. But I don't know that it's really functionally the best idea. Is where I end up, I guess. But anyway,
what's more important? Oh, sure, this guy's life.
Wait,
sure it is. Not. If you say so. I think I should get to know why somebody voted no on Derek. I feel like that's important, too. Yeah. I think that's important. Somebody's got to stick up for that. Yeah, there are laws. You might want to lay low for a while, but
yeah.
you didn't actually commit a crime by not voting for
no,
him.
No, I don't.
If you have a,
I don't think so.
If your argument is awful, then get out of the business. Like,
right.
get out of the business of voting for the Hall of Fame if it's awful. You know? Mm. I'll decide whether... I'm happy to make that call for you. I'll tell you whether it's awful. All right, well, as far as I know, we don't know who that person is, and maybe we won't, or maybe we will. I'm curious. I'd like to know the reasons. The Sabres are off until Tuesday, and I'll just ask again. I don't want to think so much and so hard about how this sounds, because it's really not beneficial to think like that in here. You just say it. I don't really want to be doing the talking about them. I just am so disconnected emotionally from it and upset about how long it's been since they've been good. Last night, because I do feel like they've just been so negligent in so many ways. And lately, you've got this thing about the jerseys you brought up again. It is reminiscent of a time in Sabres history, which is not a blip, where things were so on a budget that you really just wondered about the whole operation. And it kind of just feels like that. You mentioned the arena before and these alumni jerseys with misspelled names. Holy cow, Andrechuk? You don't have anybody to just notice that in the whole process? It's unbelievable.
Right.
So it just looks cheap. What was the giveaway last year or the year before that we got all hot about?
They gave away sunglasses.
Sunglasses.
Like gas station sunglasses.
It just seems so cheap.
Yeah. Like other teams give out like limited edition lithographs of players on the team past and present, and you got gas station sunglasses.
Jerseys.
Right, that's right. That's right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I mean I think the jersey thing is important from the standpoint of feeling completely disconnected that the fan base might feel. I don't know. We haven't heard from a lot of people here. But it's a mistake, and it's like the kind of thing that just makes you feel like nobody is really in charge. Like no one is paying attention. And I think that's why I lump the arena in too, because the arena, they have done some things, that there's a new club area or something that, on the 200 level, okay, but
is it nice?
I don't know. Like the arena bowl has not been upgraded. The place seems like it's lacking for attention, I think, is how I would describe it when I've been there last, which is a month or so ago. It just isn't being updated the way that other teams, I think, have been updating their buildings, and I don't understand why that is. I know they've got a situation ownership wise where, they're polling their fans on both the football and the hockey front about what kind of buildings they want moving forward. And I don't know, maybe the hockey building has just sort of got to wait until they figure out the football thing. But I don't know, people who are spending $5,000 a year to go to these games or more, I think deserve better than that. There just doesn't seem like there's anyone paying attention. And that's why the jersey thing is, I think, a good metaphor for that, because you just should not, that should never happen. I mean, Mike Robitaille, we've known personally, Mike, and you're much closer to him than I am, but I mean, he worked on their broadcast for like my whole life, practically. Either doing the games with Rick and Ted Darling, and then later working on Hockey Hotline with Brian Blessing. I mean, he's a cornerstone of the broadcast anyway. And you get his name wrong? Like, admittedly, it's not Smith, but come on. Like, somebody should do better than that. And the 90s jerseys weren't even right. The collars did not match what the team wore. So you've got corners being cut at every turn. You got the 50th anniversary season, and the Canucks are wearing a bunch of different stuff that they've worn in their history, not just for warm-ups, but for games. and also extra other stuff for warmups. The Sabres haven't done any of that. They did. They do have a nice 50th anniversary jersey, and we all like that, and that's really great with the white gloves. But that 80s night, 90s night, they're not wearing stuff. And the jerseys that Jason Dahl was walking around on in during 90s week and were cheap knockoffs. They didn't have the right collar on them. And the logo was crooked. What are you doing? Can you please just get your you-know-what together? It's just not. And it feels like that is how we are looking at the hockey team, too. Because nothing of substance, not enough, was done to the roster to affect some kind of meaningful change to the kind of season they would have. Having a better season than they had last year or 2 years ago is great. It's improvement, but I mean, it's barely significant. And I've got, a lot of the same names sitting here on the roster, and it just feels like dead weight, and I've got all these defensemen, and still nothing has happened. And here, here I go. I got a week off, and, I'm going to hit the ice again, and I'm 10 points out of a playoff spot at best right now. Or, excuse me, 9. The wild card's 9. The division's 10. And I don't know. I just don't know what to do. The jersey thing spoke to me because of how everything else feels. And they did such a nice job with, I think, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people's opinions, like hitting the right notes on with the different tiered T-shirts in the arena for the odd night, and that the music was right, and like everything felt right. And I don't know, this 90s thing, looking back on it now, just you can't just put guys in jerseys that aren't the right ones, and you can't misspell the name of, like, where does Andrejczyk rank all time in the league in goals scored? Like, is he like in the top 10? Come on.
Whoever he is doesn't matter.
Of course, yeah,
doesn't matter.
That's right. It could be a nobody, relatively speaking. But still, it's Dave Andrejczyk.
It really seems like they should have been able to wear the black jerseys in a game.
The Canucks did it. I don't know why. Like, we've wondered. I didn't know. Did they miss a? They miss a date that they had to submit something by?
Well, it costs money, I guess.
Was it money? Like, what is... Either one of those is an absolute garbage excuse. If you missed a date that you needed to submit something by, that's on you and your neglect. If it's money, I mean, are you kidding? Just, it doesn't feel good right now. You want it to feel good. Like, I want him to win games. I want to watch Jack play. I want to watch Dahlin become what I think he can become. And like, so I'm going to keep watching these games. But, I mean, the organization, I'm at a point, I don't even know what the hell to ask Jason Botchel anymore. Because I feel like all our audience wants is for us to punch him in the face. Like, not literally, but, just about. They want us to verbally assault him. And you just, that's not the way that this happens. But this frustration, it feels like the fans aren't being heard. And
it has always felt like that.
And they should be able to be not even just a little bit better than that. They should be a lot better than that.
It has almost always felt like that.
Yes. I mean,
with them.
I don't.
It's often felt like that.
There's things that I feel like I don't want to say because, it's always not for the record, but. I just don't get the impression that the people who are in charge of making decisions over there are listening at all to what is going on out here. And that doesn't mean that they should have definitely traded Rasmus Ristolainen by now because some fans want him to be traded. But this other stuff that's just the curtains, basically. It's the accompaniments. There is no reason to be that sloppy on that stuff. There's just none. It's professional sports. It's an embarrassment. The jersey thing is an embarrassment. That they put those guys in jerseys with their names spelled wrong. I mean, it's just humiliating.
I couldn't have put it on.
I don't even
if
know.
If it were me, I could not have put it on.
Do they even know? Like, I don't know. It's my jersey. Okay, I put it on. I don't know. Does Dave Andrejczyk know he's walking around in a jersey with his name spelled wrong?
Well, you'd like to think so, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
You'd like to think you'd notice?
We'll look for your calls again after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
UGR. In the mood for some Little Richard today. This guy's still going. 87.
All-time legend.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Tutti Frutti. Lyrics are overrated is the other title of this song. All right, Little Richard, to cheer us up. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, 803-0550. We have Alex on the line. Hi, Alex.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. This topic here is just pressing a button. When the schedule of events came out for the 50th anniversary, and came out and I saw that they were going to have a 90s night, there was like this little spark in me that, oh my God, maybe they'll pull out the old red and black jerseys, you know? So I specifically bought tickets for that game in hopes that maybe they're going to do that. Knowing that Vancouver was going to do that, I'm like, hey, let's give it a shot. So in the weeks leading up to that game, I'm looking at the schedule of when the Sabres were going to wear their 50th anniversary jerseys, and the 90s night game was not on that list. So that just kind of fueled that speculation even more. That was kind of the talk around the water cooler at work. So fast forwarding, get to the game, and no jerseys. So complete letdown. They got everything else right. The ribbon board had the old logo and the red and black and everything like that. But Bulldog, you had mentioned that the collars on those red and black jerseys, it was like, come on. It's like it looked like they bought those jerseys from like a department store when you buy those knockoff jerseys.
Yeah.
It was just
that should never ever happen.
No.
It shouldn't even come close to happening. Like, look, I am not one to judge fans who spend $35 as opposed to $200 on a jersey. I mean, you can spot them, but you're flying your flag, you're getting, you know, whatever.
That's right.
You're doing what you can do. What you can afford to do, and you feel good about it, and like, I'm not judging you for that. All right, to put your former players in those, I mean, just come the F on.
Yeah,
you should just never happen. What you got and what you didn't get, and I'm reaching a whole nother layer of emotion about this, because those jerseys don't mean the world to me. I'm 54 years old. But if you're Joe's age or a little older, a little younger, whatever, like, those are the jerseys you grew up on. And you were hopeful that you'd see them and have a moment like a lot of us had back in 2003, when for a final game of the home season before the lockout, the Sabres pushed those to the side and they wore the original white jerseys in the arena for a home finale against New Jersey, and they came out in those jerseys, and I cried.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't get that. And
not even for warm-ups.
Not even for warm-ups. And to further it, the guys were walking around, the players themselves, the former players are walking around in the cheapest knockoff jerseys you can find. What is that?
They'll wear anything in warm-ups to sell the jerseys.
Yes.
After, not these.
I just can't. I don't know. It blows my mind. I hadn't even thought about the fan that is like again, like Alex's age or Joe's age, that was hopeful for that connection. Just what a crap storm. I mean, it's not, is it the most important thing in the world? No. But it is a way to connect with people who are feeling like you're not paying attention. And it's not, it should not have been that hard to do.
Thanks, Alex. There's a lot of guys like you that are, to put it nicely, miffed. Here's Ricky. Hi, Ricky.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening.
I live in Toronto. I'm a Sabres fan. Growing up in Toronto my whole life, but a Sabres fan. This jersey my wife tried to get me for my anniversary, we can't find it nowhere, and the knockoffs are disgusting.
Yeah, thanks. Like I said, a lot of people. Here's Nick next. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay.
Good, thank you.
Call. Yeah, I want to echo what Alex just said, actually, because I actually bought tickets for the same reason. 90s night, possible reliving the glory days of the 90s. And when I saw those jerseys, the gray collars were the first thing that struck me. And if you look in some of the other pictures, the logo is crooked. And I actually complained and called before the game. I called because I was a little – I had a lot of plans that day with my daughter trying to get a sitter for her. And when they changed the start time, I was kind of annoyed by it. And, you know, they did – you know, it was the right call in the end. But I just want to say, like, I actually called the guy, and he said that they were not going to be wearing the jerseys because Adidas didn't – they didn't reach a deadline in time with Adidas. They were like a couple days late. And that they, if you actually look at the bottom of the jerseys on the back of one of the pictures I saw, it actually has like a logo that looks like a beer league, like jersey that you would wear. So that's all I got to say. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks. Look, I don't know. Excuses like that. I mean, what are they going to do to you? If you miss a deadline, what, do you have to pay a fine? Like, aren't we all in the business of having fans and giving them what they want? Like, isn't that what the league is for? I mean, who's in the way? So you missed a deadline. Okay. Like, you can't wear them this game. We'll wear them the next game. Who cares? There's no good excuse. Once the Canucks showed up in, like, multiple alternate uniforms, like, what was the Sabres' excuse? Oh, they missed it. Who cares? Like, you just do it. You just do it. But it has just been this way with the Sabres so frequently for many years. There are constantly these sort of gaffes and errors. It has just seemed always the case. And part of the hope of this ownership would be that that would stop, because you might make a logical connection between finances and this. That now, you know, we wouldn't make these mistakes because we would have more money to invest in, whether that's employees or whatever. A lot of employees have been cut, and this thing looks just like it looked pre-Golisano or even during Golisano. And he was notorious for this, like just for holding the line on money. It just sort of feels like that again.
Yeah, I mean, there's been multiple layers of management between Pegula Sports Entertainment, between the Harbor Center, and the Sabres themselves. Like, you know, Russ Brandon is the most recognizable name, and then there's a lot of others that sort of that fit in there. And, you know, those were all just news releases. They happened. There was, you know, stories about cause and why. But I don't know. I guess I might have assumed that some of those jobs were filled with new people, but maybe not. And maybe there's a price being paid for that, because there's somebody's not paying attention to stuff that is visible to the customers. And that's just not where you want to be. That's not where you should be. That's not where people who are paying good big money to enjoy a night or multiple nights out, you just do not want to just shovel crap at them.
It's more money all the time. Everything costs more all the time. It's a story when for some reason it doesn't. It's just the way of life.
with them.
I am.
And how my struggle in here is like, I don't like just sort of making myself upset.
Right.
So,
well,
any of this, it's right to call it out. It's just any of this for me is just like making myself upset. Yeah. I'm one of these customers.
Yeah.
And right. I'm at a point where I don't even like going because it's just like the premium beer isn't premium at all. The concession stuff, the point about the stale arena, you know, they haven't, the last playoff game they played in there, Ville Leno was the hero for the other team. I mean, how long ago was that? Just, there was no reunion for the teams we loved. Like, it's always something. There's always this miss by them. And the less time I spend thinking about it, the better off I am. Yeah. But that doesn't really get the job done to ignore it here.
I really did not, until Alex was the gentleman who called, who talked about the time change and the jerseys and all that, for 90s night. I've reached another level of frustration and anger about it all, because you absolutely deserve to have that feeling that night that a lot of us had in 03. It's just not okay, man. They got to be better than that. There's no reason for them not to be better than that. This is not. A deadline got missed? What are you with my taxes now? Like, what are you doing? You missed a deadline. I got an idea. Hey, why don't you call your is there someone that has your job in Vancouver? Yeah, why don't you call them and see what they're doing? And like, make sure that we're not missing anything here. Let's just put our head, we came into the league together. We can work together. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary. They played the Canucks on a kid's day a few weeks ago. Can I ask you how in the world they're both not wearing the sweaters they came into the freaking league with on that day?
When they played out there, Vancouver did wear this like the skate, didn't they? When the Sabres played out there,
and the Sabres wear so the Sabres wore their white ones. I think the 50th. I think they right. Is that right?
I don't even remember.
I would need to see
highlights
of that.
They didn't wear anything.
I watched that game. That was, yeah. Anyway, we can find images of it. How did that not happen? Well, maybe Vancouver didn't want to travel with a bunch of stuff. I don't know.
Sabres wore their normal whites.
The normal whites that night. All right.
Perfect.
I don't know. It is not that hard. Like, this stuff is not hard. You know, I can accept on a certain level, as frustrated as I am, that trading Rasmus Ristolainen for Nikolaj Ehlers, maybe that's really hard. Maybe you cannot do that. Because Winnipeg just goes, no. And they hang up on you. Like, that's hard. Okay.
You trade him for someone else.
Right, sure. But this stuff is not hard. This stuff is, it's like minor league baby stuff. I mean, come on.
I just heard Alex talk, and I'm just like thinking about, like, I try not to think about 90s night. Like, I literally try not to think about that day.
That's what I mean.
It was different for me because I'm not in a point anymore where I'm just like super fan. You know what I mean? Like, I'm at with Nate Geary doing Bills pregame at 716 for that game. So I'm not really even focused on it at the time. But it's like, you know, as a Buffalo sports fan growing up as a kid in my age, you had one freaking team that you grew up with that, like, you fell in love with. One team. That's pretty much it. 05-06. And I just feel like this was the season to, or at some point, give us that night. That, like, that's it. There's no Bills team to fall in love with growing up. There's no Sabre team to fall in love with other than that one. And I almost just feel like sometimes it just didn't happen. Or there's no acknowledgement that it happened.
Take more of your calls next, 803-0550 to comment. Mike Schoep and the Bulldogs, Sneaky Joe, this is WGR.
Deal of the daytime, sitting in a cold car, no fun. Skip scraping ice off your windows with a keyless car starter from B&R Auto Accessories. Right now, you get a $379 starter for just $279. only from GetMyPerks.com. Details at GetMyPerks.com. Remember, the perks to living in Western New York are just a few clicks away at GetMyPerks.com.
When was the last time you did a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle?
Ooh.
Not that recently?
No, no. Kids maybe aged 12 and 10.
Okay. You familiar with this Buffalo Games that makes puzzles? Like, they have all kinds of different games. I believe the company is named Buffalo Games.
I'm not familiar, no.
And in Tops, like, they sell these Star Wars puzzles made by Buffalo Games.
Okay.
And I bought one for our family for Christmas way back. And it was a great time. Like, the four of us all working on this Star Wars puzzle.
Yeah.
And I've seen at least five different ones. So, it, you know, off and on during Christmas break, my wife was home a little bit more than usual, and the kids were home, and we're all just sort of picking away at this puzzle, and we did it. It took like a week.
Yeah.
1,000 pieces.
All right.
About a week. Like, all right, cool. It was fun to do. I got hooked on it a couple times. Never been like a jigsaw guy, but a couple times I got into it. My wife and I enjoyed doing that together, working it out. And then I bought another one. But I don't know what to do with the completed one. I don't know if there's something I should want to do with it. My brother-in-law has framed puzzles.
Yeah.
But my wife's like, but you have framed jerseys stacked in the basement. Like, you don't even have, you want to put those on the wall.
Right.
How are you going to put a puzzle on the wall?
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do with it. But I'm really not into the idea of taking it apart.
Well, okay. You have to do something.
Well, now I'm down a table.
All right.
Because the puzzle is on a table that I no longer use.
Take it apart and do it again next Christmas.
The same one?
Yeah.
I bought another one.
Okay, well, then do that one first, and then eventually it will be like, you know, reading a good book a second time. I mean, it's still going to be challenging to put the puzzle together. There will be points in time where you go like, oh, I remember this piece.
Yes.
And if you got four of you working on it, you all will have that, you know, independent of one another probably. But I've done that.
That's what you would do.
Yeah.
You'd take it apart.
I would just
put it back in the box.
I'd be, of course, very careful to damage or lose any of the pieces. But yeah, put it back
in the
box.
Yeah, you'd have to break them all apart from each other.
That's right.
Mix them up.
That's right. You'll put them in the box and just shake them up and you should be all good. But you got to make sure you take all the pieces apart.
Carefully.
You're reminding me that like we might have done this at the cottage when the kids were 12 and 10 maybe or something. I don't know. And it was fun. So just like you're saying, like doing it all together was fun. That was before we taught the kids about gambling.
Yeah. Before you bought that roulette wheel.
Right.
Did you get the one with the double zero and the single zero?
If you're ever in a casino, kids,
I forget.
Here's how this is how you want to handle yourself. The neighbor dealing blackjack. It was comprehensive.
I don't even refer to Bulldog's wife anymore by her name. I call her Croupier. Nice. Did you get the double zero? I remember playing roulette at your cottage and being upset.
Right.
You had double zero and single zero.
The puzzles. I enjoyed the puzzles.
You come here, you think maybe the house advantage would not be too severe.
Yeah.
Wrong.
I enjoyed the puzzles much more than the Lego, you know, whatever, 10,000 piece sets with like the 70 pages of directions. Whew. Make an early mistake there. Well, that's a long road back. Oh, I put this piece was, I got to go back, take it all apart, start over. Ay, ay, ay.
I remember the time I tried to move my bet and your 10-year-old smacked me with that stick because the ball was in motion.
Sorry, I shouldn't have left the casino.
I might go back to it a few more times. Playing roulette.
I want Leo to smack you.
I remember walking up there once for that picnic and like everybody's in tuxedos.
Why?
It was Monte Carlo night at the cottage.
Monte Carlo night.
Oh, Lordy. All right, well.
Why does their kitchen have a sign over it that says cashier?
I need a little bit of a laugh because I am. You mentioned earlier, like, making yourself angry. Like, I've had a very, I wouldn't say this has been cathartic. This has been stuff that I haven't been really thinking a lot about that is just now bursting out of me, and it feels like I've been in a fight. And you never feel good after you've been, you know, a verbal altercation. It doesn't have to be physical, but just like been a big argument. And you feel like, did I really mean everything I said? Am I going to regret any of that? Am I, like, that's how I'm feeling right now, which is weird at 6 o'clock. but I just, ugh.
I tried to get one gin and tonic, and Owen's asking me for my player's card. Come on. What happened to this place? You just love it here. But yes, I agree with what you said. Here comes the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after that here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.